What's up, potheads? It's your dudes, William the Opinion Updike.
And Positive Chuck Mockler.
We're potting.
We are potting.
It's Friday, guys. My mind is gone. But you know what it means. Every Friday, it's Love, Mary.
Leave.
Yeah. PC Chuck Mockler wants to change the name. I think in light of current events around the Los Angeles area, we should call it Love, Mary, Burn It Down.
All right, let's do that. We'll do Love, Mary, Burn.
thanks so much for tuning in, guys. We got a recap of the Clippers game against the Trailblazers from last night. Some good stuff, some bad stuff. We'll tell you what could have gone better.
Absolutely.
And then we've got a preview of tomorrow's highly anticipated match. Charles is, looks like his skin is going to fall off.
I'm not anticipating it.
Against the Bucks, and we'll give you a few things that the Clippers are definitely going to need to do to win. And then we've got our Love, Mary, Burn with this year's roundup of City Edition jerseys. All that and more coming up right about now.
So, last night, the Clippers lost to the Trailblazers, 116-105 in Portland.
Yeah.
Tough loss.
It seems like a hard place to play.
Seems like a really hard place to play. They were packed out.
Yeah.
High out of their minds because it's Oregon.
Oh, of course.
Let's just get off some stats really quick. Tobias was probably sick also, which is what I'm going to blame the loss on.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like if you don't participate in cheater run because you're too sick, maybe just let the guy sit out of the game.
Is it a Jordan 6 situation where, like, maybe he was a little
hungover? Nah, not Toby, dude. He takes care of his body.
That's true.
Still had 15-11 to continue his 15-point streak, which is fantastic. Gallo put up 20 points, hitting 5 of 8 from 3, really keeping us in the game.
Yeah, he looked great.
Lou had 20 points and 7 assists. And Shea, with his best offensive and just maybe overall game of the year, with 19 points.
I really hope this was a confidence builder for him.
I think it has to have been.
He definitely looked a lot less tentative as things moved on.
Yes.
He showed a lot of really good stuff. I think there's just some simple tweaks that he could make to make his offensive game a lot better.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about this last time. Like, just adding like a little pump fake or something when he's posted up, I think he would get blocked less.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, I think it's something that'll come with more play. But he needs to be able to, like, change direction or, like, double clutch in the air a little bit. Because he gets a lot of shots blocked at the rim because
he's kind of just going in one direction.
He's telegraphing what the motion is going to be.
For sure.
And he doesn't ever, like, he doesn't vary or, like, add a fake in the air.
Yeah, his pivots and everything are amazing.
Yeah.
I think I had a...
There's a lot of good. A lot of good. I'm just saying that there's a few small tweaks that I think...
For sure.
...that this game kind of showed, you know, he does have that... He does have that killer ability and that instinct, and I think if he just adds a couple tricks to his tool bag, he's going to be way more well-rounded offensively.
And his release is so high that he can get low pushouts over, like, anybody.
Yeah.
I think that goes kind of into what you're saying about the block situation. I mean, he's probably always been used to being able to get a shot over people.
Yeah.
Like, he's so long, and now that he's in the NBA, it's a little harder. There was no Tobio cushion.
No.
The Tobio cushion was not in effect. For the new listeners to Locked On Clippers, the Tobio cushion... As if Tobias and Gallo combined for 40 points, we're probably going to win the game.
I think 50, but...
All right. But it's just a cushion, so I guess it is negotiable. For the other side, Dame and McCollum combined for 48, which is kind of to be expected.
Yeah, I mean, nobody had a 40-point game, so...
Hey, that's a win. Shea, look, I think you're right about this being a confidence game, because he was going against one of the better backcourts in the Western Conference right now.
Yeah.
And Dame actually had some... words of praise for Shea. He said, I like him a lot. His height and his length. He's aggressive. He just plays the game, and I really like his demeanor and his mentality, just not backing down. League starting to recognize, dude.
Yeah.
I think the players know it. I'm really hoping the rest of the general public figures it out. This game was closer than the score indicates.
I agree. While we were trailing all except for maybe once during the game, it was never by a whole lot.
We were never out of this game.
No. No.
I think
the most we might have trailed by was like 13 points.
Yeah, which is a lot, but this team has shown a lot of resilience, especially since that Thunder fiasco.
Yeah.
Of like I don't think that's going to happen again to them.
I just don't see this as a team that should ever really be getting like blown the F out.
I agree 100%. Some weird stats actually. We made more field goals and shot a better percentage than the Blazers. We shot 46%, they shot 41%. We really seem to have lost the game rebounding and the free throw battle.
Yeah, that was definitely a big one. They had double the amount of second chance points as we did.
Yeah.
And there were some issues too with like, we'll get into it when we talk more about Trez, but there was like some issues on defense and stuff. I honestly think that one of the biggest, I think where the game was lost is during the first half of the game, we did an excellent job of defending out all the way to the perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
Like most of their shots, I think they made four threes the entire first half.
Yeah.
And then in the second half, I don't know if it was an adjustment. I don't know if people were tired, but they clogged the paint a little bit more. And then, like, they, I don't know, the amount of threes that they made was more than double what it was in the first half.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that was like a conscious adjustment. I don't know if people were like just getting ready for them to go to the rim. So they were kind of like sagging off,
off of their assignment. Drive.
Yeah. But it was, to me, that's where the game was lost. Like, that's why you have that discrepancy of like, we even had a higher field goal percentage and everything.
Yeah. It's
they
crazy.
Just made a lot more threes in the second half.
For sure. Rebounding wise, they out-rebounded us 53-41, and they attempted 8 more free throws. They went 26-28 on free throws. We went 15-20.
Not great.
That's not really good. Just talk about Shea a little bit more. His body control is unbelievable.
Yeah.
His pivots and stuff like that are so advanced for someone his age who's so new to the NBA. I did notice early on in the game, the Blazers hit a couple threes, and his body language was a little poor. He kind of like he was visibly pretty frustrated.
Yeah.
And I think early on in the game, you know, you're playing against McCollum and Lillard, they're going to hit some threes. So I think that's maybe just some rookie stuff of like, you know, let it go, be mad about it, but maybe not portray, you know what I mean? Like outright be as frustrated.
Yeah.
When the game's still firmly within reach. And
definitely.
Stuff like that. You just mentioned Trez offensively, unbelievable last night.
Yeah. Really, really great game. Really efficient, high energy.
8 for 9, 16
yeah.
points. Let's
really
get into
solid.
Those mistakes.
So there were some key mistakes that he had too. Obviously rebounding. I thought sometimes like the normal Trez effort wasn't necessarily there.
Mm-hmm.
He got a rebound and dropped the ball for a turnover at one point.
I saw that. That was not classic Trez.
No. So he seemed a little bit out of sorts. I think the biggest thing though was it just seemed like he was, I don't know if he was unwilling or he was unnoticing, but he wasn't sliding over to help other defenders.
Mm.
And I think that there was a lot of easy points at the basket when like he was, you know, within 3 feet and could have like slid
make
over
a cut.
To yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was just bad communication. At one point there was definitely a period where like Lou Will was very frustrated
yeah.
and had what seemed to be a pretty stern talk. Like talking to yeah. with him.
And you're not playing good defense if Lou Williams is lecturing you on defense.
Yeah. Well, I think he might have called for the switch or he called for help and it never
didn't
came.
Come. Yeah. Hopefully that'll be an adjustment fixed. You were right about their bench beating us.
Yeah.
Their bench played really well last night. Everyone apparently loves Zach Collins, which I still don't understand.
It's beyond me.
Someone called him a playmaker in the postgame thing. And I was
what?
Like, he had like 3 assists. It was very weird. I thought Boban played kind of timid on defense.
I thought so too. I was surprised that he was getting out-rebounded by Nurk. Like that to me should never be happening.
And out-muscled. There was a couple post-ups where Nurk is putting his body into him, which is going to happen, and Boban's just going backwards. I know Nurk is a very strong dude. Boban is a that shouldn't happen. You know what I'm saying?
Do you just think his legs are getting too tired out from these starts?
I think like, it might be something like that. Maybe there might have to be a switch where Trez is starting or something, or Gortat, who also didn't play at all in this game, which yeah. I'm not mad about, obviously. But, like, something. It was just very odd to see him get kind of bodied up by somebody.
Yeah, I agree. It was very uncharacteristic.
It was supposed to be an easy matchup for him, and it kind of wasn't.
No.
Which kind of blew me away.
I mean, Nurk is very athletic, and I think we may have underrated that a little bit. But, I don't know, just because of Boban's, like, size advantage, you would think that he would use that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. The turnovers were a lot better than they've been.
Much better.
I think we had, what, like 6?
7.
7,
we
yeah.
We tied them for turnovers.
That's great. That's so. Honestly, if I was a head coach, I'd be like, if we get turnovers, just make sure it's the same amount as them or less.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like we said, I said yesterday, like the margin of error for turnovers in this game was like, I think if we had 3 yeah. more than them, I mean, this score is much different.
Absolutely.
You know?
We were within 6 super late. This was a loss that was against a team that's just straight up better than us right now.
I don't know. You know how we've talked about it a little bit here, but like this, the concept of like almost a scheduled loss.
Yeah.
You know, where you have like a couple tough games and then you're like on the road or whatever. Mm-hmm. This kind of feels a little bit like one of those.
For sure. I'm bummed we lost, but I'm not bummed how we lost.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Guys, that's the wrap-up of the Clippers-Blazers game. Coming up after this, we're going to be getting into what has to happen when we play the Bucks tomorrow.
So, big game against the Bucks. Oof. They are so hot right now.
They just destroyed the Warriors.
Yeah.
I'm worried.
That's fair.
This is not... I'm glad this game isn't nationally televised.
Yeah.
It might be for all I know, but I don't think it is.
I can't remember our nationally televised schedule, but that's beyond the point. So what do you think the Clips need to do to win?
I think Giannis' arms need to fall off. I mean, we say it every single game, boards.
Yeah.
Giannis is averaging 13 a game.
Yeah.
And I'm worried that if we prevent him from getting boards, that Lopez is just going to step right into that void.
That's
maybe
fair.
Maybe gobble those up.
That's fair.
I think we need to stop the boards. I think Mike Scott needs to not go 1 of 5, which he did last night, which really killed us.
Yeah.
That was kind of brutal to watch. I'm glad he was shooting,
mm-hmm.
but like, he can't be this inconsistent.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, especially like, he's such a key player on our bench. Like, mm-hmm. He can't be that cold.
Yeah. Which I know it's hard if you're a shooter, especially to like get into that rhythm.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know though. I think had he made one more three, like this conversation would be a little bit different.
Oh, I agree. You know 100%. What I mean? Yeah. Like, but I guess that's all I'm asking is like go 2 of 5.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. No. Definitely agreed.
And I think Gallo, who's been a godsend, he's the only player in the league I saw today who's averaging 20 points while playing less than 30 minutes a game.
He's incredibly efficient. He's so great.
Yeah. He's been one of our best players.
So who do you think? I mean, because Trez, just because of the size of the Bucks, Trez and I don't really even think Boban are going to be able to get a whole lot of boards like over Giannis. So do you think that Gallo or Tobias maybe plays a little bit? We play lower. One of them a little bit lower.
I hope. I mean, I think you're right. I think we have to do that. I think Tobias is currently our leading rebounder,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of weird.
Well, Gallo's right up there too. I mean, yeah. they both have a pretty solid average.
Yeah, so I think those guys are going to have to crash the boards really hard. It was going to be hard because one of them is going to be shooting threes.
Yeah.
While the other has to get down there and get low and help out who's ever trying to wrangle, you know, Brogdon, Giannis, or Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really good point. And then just defending the perimeter.
So I think that should be the main goal. Mm-hmm. I think let Giannis score. Let Giannis score all day.
Yeah.
I don't care.
To shut down everyone else.
Shut down everyone else.
For sure.
If you look at like if you look at last night's score, it was like really well distributed. I think 4 or 5 different players for the Bucks had, you know, 20 plus points.
Yeah.
Let Giannis have 40.
Yeah.
If those other guys aren't scoring, fine. I don't really care.
For sure. Literally make Giannis beat us.
Yeah.
I like that. Let's get into what could go wrong.
Yeah.
I just have Giannis with a big sad face.
And I think that Giannis is going to have a game where, like, stylistically...
It's like the Anthony Davis thing. It's
yeah,
like,
stylistically, that's just not a good matchup for us. So I think what the real problem would be is if we try to, like, pack the paint and just stop Giannis or something, and then everybody is just getting hot from three.
For sure. We're going to go... I guess we can go into that now. Middleton is taking 8 threes a game and shooting 45%.
He's really, really good.
He is crushing it this year. So if he gets hot... That's kind of rough.
Definitely.
Fouls might ruin us like last night.
Fouls are not going to be
if
great.
If we get frustrated, we foul a lot.
Yeah.
And with the new NBA rules and how much tighter everything seems to be, that could really doom us early.
Yeah, I think if we just guard the perimeter and like once again just let Giannis do his thing, we don't have to worry about fouls as much.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a really good point. Yeah, not getting into the bonus. God, we cannot get into the bonus early against this team.
Yeah.
They're a pretty good free throwing shooting team. We were kind of talking about, so like if we do try and focus on shutting down Giannis, what does that look like stat-wise?
Oh, like what?
Like for Giannis.
I don't know, 10, 12, and 3?
Yeah, like I was like, so if we shut him down, he's for sure going to get at least a double-double
yeah.
with like maybe 4 blocks too or something yeah. like that. So key matchups, Middleton versus Gallo and Tobias I think is going to be big. Whoever ends up guarding him.
Interesting. I think either one of them kind of has the tools to guard Middleton.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't know. I actually kind of like this matchup. I know you're a lot more nervous about it than I am, and the Bucks are a really, really good team.
Yeah.
I just think like with a 4-out offense, we just have a lot of really good man-on-man
defenders.
For yeah.
Sure. Bradley's like going to be back too.
Yeah. If they're not like creating a bunch of mismatches and like and doing pick and rolls and stuff like that, like I think that we have the defensive tools to keep them. Like keep them from scoring
in check. Yeah, yeah, I would agree with that.
At least keep four people on the floor from scoring.
Yeah, for sure. And then Brogdon versus Bradley if he plays in Shea, mm-hmm. just because Shea's a little smaller, like size wise. Like I think Brogdon, if they get that matchup, they might kind of exploit that maybe down low because Shea's really athletic, but I don't know, and he's strong because he is an NBA player, but I don't know if he's as big and strong as Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah, that's fair. So you would have Shea on Brogdon?
Yeah, because I'm assuming Beverly's on
Bledsoe. I guess
you could switch those.
I like the matchup of Beverly on Bledsoe.
Yeah.
He's an irritating defender, mm-hmm. and I think Bledsoe is someone who like gets kind of in their feelings.
Yeah,
if
you get into his head, you win.
Yeah,
pretty much. He's one of those guys.
So I really like that. And as for Brogdon, I mean, I could see Shea defending him. I think if Bradley's there tonight, Bradley would be great. He's long. He's
yeah,
can cover him.
I think you're right. We have the tools. It's going to be cool to see how Doc figures it out for tomorrow.
Yeah.
I wish the game wasn't at 12:30. I feel like our boys need more rest.
Yeah, I wish they had a little bit more time to think about it, but I'm sure they have been.
Do you think Boban will be starting?
Yes. Yeah. I do think that Boban will be starting.
I do too. I kind of want it to be Trez.
Yeah. Giannis hasn't really faced a center with his size, but yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't really see this being a good matchup for Boban.
Like Lopez, I mean, offensively is a great matchup for Boban, but their offense doesn't run through Lopez.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What are your predictions for the score?
Predictions for the score. I mean, I think the key to beating this Bucks squad is like you got to keep them to under 100 points or like maybe 105. You
for
know?
Sure.
Because we just don't have the scoring to outscore this team.
Agreed. Most teams, I think we do, but not this team.
Definitely not this team. So predictions for score, I'm actually feeling pretty confident about this one. I think the Clippers could come away with a hard fought dub.
A fat dub.
And I'm saying it's going to be like a slim margin of victory. I'm thinking like maybe 105 to 108 or 111.
I like that. You're picking the Clips.
Yeah.
I am going to be pessimistic, Chuck Mockler, right now and say, I think it's going to be close too, but I think I'm going to flip it the other way. I think it's going to be like 107, 104. Lou Williams misses the game winning shot.
Ouch.
I know. It's
going to do him like that?
I don't want it to happen. It's going to be because there's going to be a Bucks fan who blows an air horn in his head. Because that's what's going to happen. That's our predictions. Let us know what you guys think is going to happen tomorrow at 12:30 at the Staples Center. Coming up after this, some Pacific Division power rankings. Oh, how they've changed since last week.
Crazy.
And love, Mary burn. So, Pacific Division power rankings. We both have the same one and two. We got the Warriors 1, Clippers 2.
Yeah. You want to go through your 3 and then I'll go through my...
Yeah, quick note on the Warriors.
Yeah.
We might end up missing Steph Curry when we play him on Monday.
Oh,
yeah.
He
had that abductor strain, which I looked up and apparently is in your groin. I thought it was in your side.
I thought it was a hip... I thought abductor was like a hip thing.
Yeah, we could... I mean, I could be wrong too. But so he might be out. He had an MRI, but it was a positive MRI. But he's out for the game this weekend. So he also
positive bad? When you're talking test results from doctors?
Steve Kerr said it was a positive. Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. I guess so it was a negative MRI, medically positive for the team.
Okay.
That's a good thing to clear up. So we might end up missing him on Monday.
All right.
Which would be kind of nice.
Yeah.
You know, they don't really have anyone else who can score on that team, so that's a real big help
Bunch
for
of bums.
And maybe Draymond might be out too.
Oh, so. What's his deal?
I don't know.
I got to be honest with the listeners. Angry? I have not watched a single Warriors game this season.
I think that's fine. I don't think anyone wants to. Yes, we got Warriors 1, Clippers 2, and then I have the Lakers 3.
Okay.
Who do you have 3?
I got the Kings.
I love it. The Kings get a lot of love on this podcast.
they are a rival.
Kind of.
Kind of. Not really.
They're like our cool cousin.
They have currently the longest playoff drought of any team in the NBA.
Damn.
Which is a bummer for them.
That really does suck. Why do you put them ahead of the Lakers? Because you have the Lakers 4.
I have the Lakers 4, yeah. I have the Kings at the 3 spot because there's just a lot of upside going on there. And, you know, I think we talked about this last week, how long you'll even remain in, like, the top.
Yeah.
Top, what, 12 teams in the Western Conference? So I don't know how long it's going to stick. But right now, they've got a winning record. And they have a winning road record too, which I think is impressive for a young team.
For sure.
And I think that's like a good sign that this isn't just like some fluke.
Yeah, this could happen.
This could happen. And like, you know, I don't know how sustainable it is long term, but they are kind of, they're figuring out how to use these players.
For sure.
Which I think is really smart. And yeah, I think that like as a result, their offense is functioning a lot better.
And then why do you have the Lakers below them? So you got Warriors, Clippers, Kings, Lakers. Just dysfunction.
Just dysfunction. Yeah. I mean, they got Chandler now.
Yeah, that's like great. Just
good. I don't know. They'll probably rise later, I guess, as the season goes on. Thus far, I'm just like, I'm still not sold.
For sure, I can see that. And then you have last place.
Last place is the Suns.
Ah, it's brutal, man.
Yeah, it's a bummer. I love the Suns. Not doing so good. They got booed off the court at home,
which is fair.
Yeah.
They were playing bad. So I have Warriors 1, Clippers 2, Lakers 3, just, I guess, because Chandler makes them a contender now for, like, a good playoff spot. I don't know. I'm not really committed to them being 3. And then I have the Suns 4, because they almost beat the Celtics. It took the Celtics, like, they had to come back from, like, 22 down and go to overtime at home against the Suns.
I mean, the Suns. They'll sneak up on you. They'll burn you.
But yeah, I have them there. Devin Booker looked genuinely mad, and like I like when a player like is like, I hate getting booed off the court. They deserve to boot us though. And then the next game comes out firing.
Yeah.
You know, like it was cool to see him. They had a chance to win the game, but you know, short hair Kyrie is the best version of Kyrie, so they couldn't do that. And then I have the Kings last, despite having some weird soft spot in my heart for the Kings.
And they are higher in the rankings.
Yeah, they absolutely are, but it feels like a facade.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think these rankings will maybe look drastically different when we do them on Friday, just given how hard our next couple of games are.
Yeah.
I hope we're not.
And then finally some sweet reprieve after this next stretch of games.
Oh, God, yeah. Then we just play the Magic for 70 games in a row, and that's great. So now let's get into some Love, Mary, Leave City Edition jerseys.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first.
Do it.
All right, so my love is the Nuggets jersey.
Beautiful.
It's an homage to a great time in their early history, and it's beautiful looking. You know, yeah. there's like the rainbow, there's the skyline.
If you haven't seen it, all white with the classic rainbow skyline, but kind of like
it's mountains.
Yeah, mountains, and it's kind of stippling. It's kind of like dot type drawing.
Very,
very beautiful.
Very arousing.
Okay, interesting take.
I mean, that's my love.
I mean, you do love it. What are you marrying?
I mean, obviously the Clippers jersey. I really love it, especially comparing it to the slate of other teams' city jerseys.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's gotta be in. I mean, it's in the top five.
Yeah, and all the other merchandise itself is too.
Is very
I'm
very.
Popping
good.
A hoodie next week.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm ready. I'm ready for that to just be our jersey.
The whole time?
Yeah.
Okay,
oh yeah.
I don't know about that. I mean, you're marrying it. That is a big commitment. And then, what are you burning? You have another one on the Mary.
Oh, I also have a co-Mary, which is the Miami Vice jerseys. I think those should also just be their regular jerseys.
It's very modern of you.
Yeah?
To have two spouses.
Oh, I mean, you know.
Yeah, no, the Miami Vice thing is like the most, it might be in like the top three jerseys of all time of any sport for me.
Yeah.
It's so
good.
Gorgeous. And then what are you burning?
I'm burning the Bucks jersey.
Yeah, that's a consent. Yeah, I agree with that.
I get that it's like it's an homage to their heritage.
To the court they
but
used
like,
to have?
Yeah, like, but it's like a bunch of different colors and it looks bad.
It's like a
There's like an orange boob and a yellow boob, and then there's like
it's like lumpy almost.
And then there's like some green and I don't know. And for some reason, I'm actually a fan of their sponsor patch, which is the Harley Davidson patch. It makes the jersey somehow look even worse.
Yeah, it looks cheap for some reason.
It does. It looks I'm sorry to say this. It looks so Midwestern.
I like wow, just, you coastal elite.
I'm really sorry.
You coastal elite.
It just looks like something like that you would see at a mall and someone would be like, oh, that's fancy. And you would be like, yeah.
Yeah, mom, can we go?
I live in LA, mom. I don't like this jersey.
That's really funny. I agree with all of those picks. I love the Minnesota one.
Oh, that's great.
I love it from the sense of like, I don't think a team has ever made a jersey based on a local celebrity.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, national celebrity, though.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just kind of a cool thing.
Definitely.
I kind of want to get a pair of the shorts. Really cool jersey. The lettering
This is just a side note.
Yeah.
The estate of Prince is like really just racking it up right
now.
They're
going insane.
They are like selling, they're pimping those rights out to anything.
I don't really like
it. His music is in like every commercial right now.
Which he was so against.
Yeah.
Which kind of bums me out.
Yeah.
I wish it was just the jersey.
I do think he would be pro these jerseys though. He's a huge fan. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely would be pro these jerseys. I would marry the Cavs jerseys.
Ooh, that's a good one.
They're very cool.
Very
I know.
Tasteful. It's like an orange and blue with a much nicer lettering for their name.
I feel like on the Bucks jerseys, they tried to do kind of like some non-symmetry in your face type stuff.
Yeah.
And the Cavs executed it well.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like a diagonal. Yeah, I really like those.
A sentence, Cavs executing something well, not something you're going to say probably ever again.
Ever again.
At least this year in this podcast.
Unless they start a slaughterhouse. And I'll say, these guys are executing well. Okay, I'll get out of here, everybody. It's Friday. And then the ones that I'm going to burn... Any team that decided to just do like an all-black city jersey.
Oh, yeah. The only one to me that actually a little bit makes sense is Detroit's Motor City jersey. It's got like the two racing stripes on it, and it does say Motor City. And like, it's very like basic, but I feel like it is...
Gritty.
I feel like it's gritty. I do feel like it has like an identity of that city and like the auto industry and
for sure.
So on and so forth.
And then, yeah, so like the San Antonio one, dumb.
Bad.
It's always camo.
Yeah.
And like, there's a lot more. I understand it's a military city, but there's a lot, you know, do the Fiesta stuff. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Do some cool stuff. The Magic one, bad. It's just their regular jersey with a bigger floating ball.
Yeah. And then there's like some stars on the side paneling.
Yeah. It's but really I just bad. Think it's such a lazy.
DC's is terrible.
DC's is bad. It's so lazy. You have an opportunity to make something so cool. I don't see a reason why every team can't have as cool a jersey as like. The Timberwolves one or like the Nuggets one, you know? Like,
I think you should take a swing. And I liked that about the Clippers jersey last year too, like the nautical
one. They went for
it. Like they took a swing.
And then one jersey that I don't have on my list, but I think we were talking about this earlier. I really like that OKC one. The message behind it's really cool.
Yeah.
The Native American blanket stuff. If you haven't seen that, check those out. Guys, that is going to do it for us here on Locked On Clippers, as always on the Locked On Podcast Network. We are here 5 days a week. On Monday, we're going to be recapping the hopeful victory against the Bucks, previewing the clash against the Warriors, and our weekly rookie report, the Freshies.
We're going to do that on Monday.
I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.